the Lord, church. Such a sweet presence of the Holy Ghost in this place tonight. You can be seated for just a minute if you would like to be seated. If you're a guest of ours this evening, whether you're in person or joining us online, we do have a connection card. If you're worshiping in person, we'd like to have you fill that out, if you don't mind, in the kiosk. Or you can go online, and there's a bit.ly link at CGC Connections. And then also we have some giving options, and you can give in the offering box that's out in the kiosk. Or you can give online. We have a number of different ways that you can give online, our website, through our church app. Or you can mail it here to the church if you'd prefer to do that. And with our schedule, tomorrow evening is Thursday. We're off tomorrow evening. I don't know why I've been thinking it's Thursday all day and it's Wednesday. So I was thinking tomorrow evening was Friday, but then why would I be here tonight, right? Oh, usually you're always a day behind, right? Down in the day behind for whatever reason. I'm a little ahead of myself here tonight. So Friday evening, we're going to be having a prayer meeting, and that is our monthly prayer meeting. And I want to encourage all of you to attend that. We've been going through a prayer series. Sister Linda Brown will be teaching her last lesson on that this evening. She's going to be talking about an intercessory prayer. And Friday evening, we're going to spend more time in prayer on Friday evening. And we're going to exercise a little bit of what we're going to be learning tonight. We're going to put it into practice. Our world is... It's a mess. And if you're wondering, well, you know, are we getting close to the last days? We're getting close to the last hours, last minutes of time. And I just want to encourage you to come, bring your families. If your kids can't stay for a full hour, stay for a half an hour. At least start getting them used to some of these things. So I want to encourage that. They learn by observation. So then Sunday, we have our God's Word for Life. We have our 10 o'clock Bible study, and typically you would get a little handout that every Sunday morning, but we now have the daily devotional booklets that will be available, so you'll be able to carry that booklet with you. So I want to encourage you, make sure you pick one of those up on Sunday morning. It'll have all the lessons for the next quarter will all be in there. So it's kind of like a little devotion booklet, so make sure you get that. Then also, this Sunday is we have a baby dedication. So we're excited about that. And Brother Peter is our family pastor, but he's asked me to speak this Sunday, so I'm excited about that. And I haven't spoken at a baby dedication for a little while, so I've got like hours and hours and hours of notes stockpiled. So we'll get out of here about 3:30, 4 o'clock. And I'm just kidding. Don't panic. So congratulations to Brother Ryan Clark. Don't you just love this? They have no idea what they're congratulating you for. He just passed his journeyman plumber's exam. And in case you don't know, it's a five-year apprenticeship, and it's about an eight-hour exam. And he passed all the sections of it, so congratulations. I remember years ago when I was in that same spot taking a very similar test. So, but congratulations to you on that, Brother Ryan. And then also, just for so you know, next Wednesday evening, we're going to start a new series. We'll still continue on Sunday morning, 11 o'clock. We'll be having our Gifts of the Spirit series. But next Wednesday, we're going to be starting a series entitled Sticks and Stones. How many of you have ever heard anyone say this? I'm offended. That offends me. We're going to talk about offenses. Someone said that recently. Well, that offends me. Well, what does that mean? I mean, like, are you aching? Is it hurt? You ever wonder that? Like, well, what is, so we're going to get into some of this because, quite frankly, Jesus spoke very clearly. If you're going to be my disciple, you're going to get offended and you're going to offend people. That's how it is. Truth offends at times. So it's amazing how people are offended by truth, but not so much by a lie. It's kind of curious on that. So sticks and stones, we're going to start that next Wednesday evening. And if you could stand. I talked with, before service, we were in a pre-service meeting, and the topic came up about what's going on over in Europe now in the Ukraine and Poland. And my wife has been in contact quite a few times this week with Sister Terry Spears, which many of you know. They have spoken here many times in the past, and they're in contact with a number of churches in the Ukraine. And things are getting pretty difficult over there. And if you can only imagine what it would be like. I can't imagine what it would be like, I guess. But there are still some things that they're able to get, but some things are just things that are not being, their whole supply chain, everything's all being disrupted because they're being invaded right now. For lack of better terminology, they are being invaded, and whether what side you agree with or disagree with, it affects a lot of people that have very little to do with the decisions that are being made at a presidential government level, and it affects not just the Ukraine, but a number of folks or refugees are spilling over into Poland. And it's affecting a lot of our missionaries and churches in Poland are taking in and starting to raise and collect supplies. So we're gonna find out as a church, we're going to find out what is needed and what we can do to help. Obviously, we can't just like ship over cases and cases of toothpaste and things like that. It's probably cheaper to send the money or do a GoFundMe or something. We'll get some of this information together to help, and we'll pass this on to you as we get this information, and then we'd like to take and step in and help some of our brothers and sisters that are struggling in these areas. But we need to pray. We need to pray. Is this it? I mean, is this, we're talking about this in our pre-service meeting. We're talking about the end times, and I've heard it my whole life. I'm 60 years old this year. And I've heard it preached for remembering probably at least 50 years of messages over the end times and what it's going to be like. And now we're stepping into, we're seeing it unfold. And I told us before service, I said, we're seeing what's happening to our world when there's a serious leadership power vacuum in our world. And the enemy, which we all know, the good old Lucifer himself is stepping in and stepping up, and he is fulfilling. He's working overtime. But he can't do anything because the church is in his way. You know what? If the church was only five people, it's still in his way. Doesn't matter if it's five or if it's 500,000 or 5 million or 50 million, it's still in his way, and he can't do anything until the church is out of his way, and he doesn't get to determine that. So as long as we're here, we're going to just make it difficult for him. So Sister Linda's going to talk about that tonight, but let's just pray. Brother Kevin Malling is not feeling well tonight, so if some of you brothers are close to him, I'd like to just pray for him also. Let's remember Sister Thompson and some of the folks that are sick in our congregation that are struggling health-wise. Let's just remember these in prayer. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day. I thank you, Lord, for your many blessings. God, in spite of the sickness, in spite of the wars, in spite of all of the things going on this planet right now, God, you are still God. You are still very much in control. And Lord, you haven't lost control of this situation, no matter it be our health, no matter it be our attitudes, no matter it be the conditions of our world. Lord, you still have everything under control. And God, you are a sovereign God. I don't understand everything all the time, Lord, but nevertheless, I ask you that your hand would come down at this time, Lord. And God, I know that there's going to be wars and rumors of wars because your word says it. It's going to happen. It has to happen, Lord, for the end to come. But Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters that are in harm's way tonight, Lord, all over Europe, God, in the Ukraine and in Poland and Crimea and all of these countries, God, that are neighboring, Lord, this war zone right now. God, all my brothers and sisters that are in Russia, Lord, that are coming under fierce persecution, Lord, for speaking out. God, I pray, Lord, that your hand would be upon this situation, God, that your will would be done in all of this, God. I pray, God, for those that are sick within our local assembly here, Lord, Sister Thompson, God. And I pray, Lord, God, for my brother Kevin Malling tonight, Lord Jesus, that your hand would be upon him, Lord. Touch his body. Heal him, Lord. Touch Sister Linda tonight as she brings forth the word of God. Lord, as she talks about intercessory prayer, God, that we would begin to fathom, we would begin to understand the necessity and the power of intercessory conversation with you, God. Lord, bless this worship time, Lord. Open up our hearts and open up our minds to receive your word tonight. In the name of Jesus, we pray, Lord. Amen. Sister Abby, lead us in worship. God bless you.
Jesus. His presence is in this place. God, I praise your name. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, God, that you have filled this place. God, you inhabit the praises of your people. Lord, have all of my praise, all of my worship for Jesus. You are worthy. You are worthy, oh God. Thank you, Jesus, for your presence. God, you are so good. You are so good. Lord, in just one moment, you can cause everything to just vanish, and we would be in your presence. But for right now, God, we will work until you come. But Jesus, we eagerly await. We await your return. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. And you may be seated. God is so good. And as I was standing up here and I was looking out, I was like, boy, this is the oddest feeling. I see everybody's faces. And they're beautiful. And they're smiling. And they're radiant. And I thank God for that. And you know, it's been 2 years since we started putting a mask on at work. We're still having to wear them. But you know, I have for the last 2 years, I've worn a mask every time I came to church. And tonight, I didn't. And I thank God. I really do. Acts chapter 2. Anybody want to quote that? How about if we all quote it? I think we've heard it quite a bit. And it's a good verse of scripture. Verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And 43. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. God desires to do miracle signs and wonders amongst his people. But there's always something God requires of his people. His gifts, they are given without repentance. He does give us his gifts. But when it comes to intercession, this is a dimension that we walk in. Most of us walk in the first dimension that we talked about the first week, prevailing prayer. It's that prayer that, you know, we understand. We pray with understanding. We know what we're saying. We take prayer requests. We pray for those oftentimes in our cars. Sometimes, you know, we have those family altars, those places of prayer. But then there's that second dimension of praying in the Spirit as the Spirit gives the utterance. And oftentimes it may be in tongues. We don't always understand, and sometimes we do, what we're praying for and about. And a lot of times, I do pray in the Spirit, even in English. But tonight, we're going to talk about a third dimension. It is a deeper dimension. And we really do have to understand what intercession is. We are all called to intercede. It is not a special gift. We are called, when we pray tonight for those that are sick, we're standing in the gap. We're praying for them. When we pray for those who cannot pray for themselves, we're praying for them. But I will say that God will move on someone for hours if you will allow him. If you will allow yourself to spend the time in his presence, he will bring you into a deeper dimension. Tonight, we're going to talk about the purpose of spiritual warfare through intercession. As we engage in spiritual warfare through intercession, God's kingdom is being established. One of the greatest prayers that one can pray is found in Matthew 6 and 10. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. In prayer, we learn to navigate through his Spirit and to move with him. Intercession is not about us. It is about the kingdom. It is about bringing God's will into whatever situation we're praying about. It's about standing in the gap for others, and it's praying the Lord's will be done as it is in heaven. Let it be done in me. We are battling for souls. That's the purpose of the church. Warfare is not to keep us saved. It is not. I just read, I think it was Brother Wolford, and I will share this with you. But so many of us for so long have thought that we intercede to keep ourselves saved. No, we're battling for the kingdom of God. There is a work. I do believe that when the apostles walked this earth, they walked in a dimension that when they walked out there, the Bible says that their shadow cast and people were healed. They prayed for the sick and they were healed, but not for themselves, for the glory of God. And this is something that we have to remember. That this is not so we can say, well, I prayed for you. I try so hard not to say that anymore. You know, I want people to know I'm praying for them. I do. I want to encourage them. But I don't go when they say, oh, God did such and such. Well, I prayed for you as if my prayers did it. No, God did it. I was simply a conduit allowing God to move in my heart in secret. What does his word say? If we will pray in secret, he will reward us openly. That's his word. I didn't say it. God did. And so as we're battling for souls, we're praying with understanding, we're praying in the spirit, and oftentimes we have to identify what is happening inside of us and be strengthened by the Spirit of God. We cannot war in the spirit on a continual basis. God never made our bodies to do that. So many times we are in prevailing prayer. The fervent, effectual prayers of a righteous man availeth much. Many times we're praying in the spirit, but intercession takes a lot of energy. I remember the first time that I interceded was probably, 25 years ago now, and my body, my abdomen ached, my bowels ached. I laid on this altar. I laid in my living room floor. My child's soul was at stake. I did not understand what intercession was, but the spirit in me did. And God knew what I needed to do to tear down some strongholds in prayer. And as we were going through this battle, we had just moved here. We hadn't been here very long. And many of you, well, maybe not many, but several of you know that our daughter, Jessica, had a good friend in high school that was murdered, brutally, brutally murdered. My daughter was so devastated. She didn't know if she was going to walk with God. She didn't understand it. She didn't get it. She couldn't figure out why was her friend murdered. And so she didn't want to come home. Her friend had been to our house. She had been to her house. She did not want to go back to the school. She wanted to stay with Nicole, who was staying with her grandparents because she was going to graduate from Sauk City. And so Jessica had stayed there and came home on weekends. But when she'd come home on weekends and there was no school and she'd go to bed at night, her heart would break. She'd cry. She'd weep all alone. And the Lord began to move on my heart, and I went into her room, and I would go in every day when she was at school, and I would pray over a pillow, and I would anoint her bed, and I would pray in her room, and I would just lay on the floor, and I'd read scripture, and I would spend hours praying through my house. I'd never done that before. I sat in our living room as I began to weep and cry as my heart broke for my daughter. I didn't know what to tell her. I didn't know what to say. How do you explain that to a ninth grader? I didn't know. And so as God began to move in me, he was showing me something in his spirit that I needed to know. God does the work. We pray, but God does the work. And when my daughter came home that weekend, she went downstairs, she went to bed, and tears came. And it wasn't too long that she began to see an angel going up and down the stairs. The angel just would go from the top and come down the bottom, go up to the top and come down the bottom. I've never seen an angel, but she has. And you know, the peace of God filled that room. His presence was so strong. And it was from that point on that I began to learn what intercession was. When my mother-in-law was dying of cancer, she hadn't been baptized. She hadn't been filled with the Holy Ghost. She was the most godly woman that I ever knew. She loved Jesus. She loved people. She loved family. She loved her husband. And I thought, God, she needs to be baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost. And we began to pray. And it was right here on this altar as I wept and I cried and I sobbed. And they weren't just little sobs. They were cries and groaning and moaning. And I was hurting. And Brother Vaughn came over to me and he said, "Sister, what is troubling you so?" And I just said, "I need you to pray." And he prayed and he said, are you better? And I said, "No." And I went home and I stayed up through the night and I continued in prayer. And this went on until Saturday morning. I woke up and the Lord released me. I had peace. He gave me a scripture. And I told Rebecca that a miracle was coming to our home. That night, my mother-in-law went down in the precious name of Jesus Christ in our bathtub. Hallelujah. And we all stood around, those that were there that night. We stood around and we held hands. It was like an old-fashioned baptism. We held hands and we testified and we sang songs. And it wouldn't be till later that God filled her with the Holy Ghost. But one morning I went down to check on her. She took my face in her hands and she said, "I spoke in tongues." I said, "You did? Did you ever do that before?" And she said, "No." And her face was radiating. And you know, she never told my father-in-law. After she passed, he came across her journal, and she wrote it in her journal. My father-in-law was not, and still has a hard time with what we believe and what we teach. But you know, if we're hungry, if we desire the truth, God will reveal it to us. This is what intercession is for. This is what pulling down strongholds is for. It's for the kingdom of God. I can lead others to pray. I can lead my family to pray, but I can't make them pray. I can encourage them to pray, but I can't tell them to pray. Only God can prompt us in prayer. Only God can move in our spirit. But what we can do is encourage and whet people's appetite with a longing and a desire to pray. After seeing Jesus pray, the disciples asked him in Luke, and in Matthew is also the other account, but they said, "Teach us to pray." And Jesus taught them to pray. "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever." And do you know, I could to this day spend hours in that prayer alone. Because when you take that prayer and you allow the Spirit to intercede in you and through you, our Father, this is your Father, my Father, the body of Christ, this is our Heavenly Father. Let us walk in unity. Let us be in one mind, one accord. And then God begins to bring people to my mind as I begin to pray for them. And then I pray, "God, let your will be done." I don't know always what to pray. So, "Lord, let your will be done. You're sovereign. Bring us through this, whatever it is, but let your will be done. Give us this day our daily bread. God, I thank you for a home. I thank you for food. But Lord, right now my heart's breaking for my brothers and sisters in Ukraine. They don't have a home. They don't have food. They're fleeing for their lives. They're fleeing for their liberty. They're desiring what we have today. And just a week ago, they had it. That's what breaks my heart. Just a week ago, they sat in their churches. They were worshiping and singing and on their platform and allowing God to move in their midst. And today they're fighting for the very thing that they were worshiping, their liberty and their walk with God. This is why we intercede. Intercession, when God first called me, I was afraid. I'll be honest. I didn't know if I could do it. I didn't know if God was going to call me for hours. I didn't know if I'd know when to stop. But you know what? I made mistakes. My first couple of times really getting in there, besides these times for our family, there was a lady at work. Her cousin was in a bad car accident, and she asked me to pray for him. He was a teenager. And so I went on a four-day fast. I didn't know. I said, well, Lord, you can raise him up out of that bed. You can heal him. And I prayed, and I kept texting her, and I would encourage her. And for 10 days, I believe, we prayed, and we sought the Lord. And I had determined I would fast until I got a word, until I knew. And I did get a word. The Lord took him. And I remember feeling so frustrated with myself. What could I have done? What should I have done? Did I not do enough? And then the Lord had to remind me, it isn't in your hands. You're not God. I am. He's God. He's sovereign. I don't pray to get him to do what I want. I pray that his will would be done in me. I'll tell you, it's not easy. It's not. My flesh gets in the way. I get frustrated. I do. I want to see things differently at times. But you know, I have learned, and I can say this with all honesty, I trust him. I trust him. And whatever his decision, whatever his outcome, he's got it in control. And so as we go into this third dimension of intercession and strongholds, I didn't see how they went together. Actually, there's our prayer evangelism book that we had gotten from World Network of Prayer for a couple of the prayer walks that we went on, and everything is separated out. But as I began to think about intercession and strongholds, the Lord began to show me that really they go together. Those strongholds that are built up, whether it be a communistic government, whether it be in our minds, whether it be in our children, whether it be in our mindset, it's a lie that the enemy has set up to cause us to stumble. And actually, it's a lie he set up because he wants to destroy us. He wants to destroy you. He wants to destroy me. But God operates in the supernatural. He operates in the spirit. This is not flesh and blood. And so how do we activate the hand of God in our situations? We use the weapons that we talked about. God is a spirit. He operates in the spirit. But those groanings and that intercession where we are completely in God's hands. Yes, I'm aware that I'm praying those prayers, but I'll tell you, his presence is so strong. There was a time I was praying, and I think I shared this with you. I was on my floor, and I'd been praying for a long time in tears, and I'm crying and interceding. And the Lord's saying, where are you? And I had to stop and recognize he was in the room. I was praying, thinking, here I am doing all this praying. And the Lord saying, I'm here. I'm here. Let me speak through you, in you. Let me intercede. That's that third dimension of intercession and allowing that deepest level that God, as Isaiah said, woe is me, I am undone. I am undone. God reminds me. He doesn't sit there and chastise me and tell me you're just dirt and you're no good. And, you know, if it weren't for me, you would not be anything. You wouldn't even be here today. No, he doesn't say that. He's a good, good father. He takes me in his arms and he said, Linda, I love you. I know your faults. I know your shortcomings. I know what you have done. And just like Brother Thompson talked about that love of God, love is a weapon. We have to learn to operate in love. And so we have been given the power and the authority. We have to remind ourselves that the enemy has already been defeated. This isn't a battle to see who's going to win. This isn't the Packers playing the Bears. No, this is God and Satan is already under his feet. He was defeated on Calvary. It is over for Satan. Remind him. Remind him where he's going. And remind him where you're going. Your mind is made up. He will never have what we have. So you remind yourselves, some of those verses to arm yourself, Matthew 28:18. God has put the enemy under our feet. Sometimes it do us some good in a prayer meeting just to stomp on his head. Just stomp the devil down. Put him down. Put him under our feet. There's a song we used to sing. What is that song? That's about to stomp the devil. I'm going to stomp, stomp, stomp. What is that song? Help me, somebody. Don't you? Is that really that dated? But we stomped. We used to sing, and I could envision stomping on the enemy's head. What a good feeling that was. I don't care what I was going through, but there was something about stomping on his head. The visual, the visual. Yes, he's been defeated. God has put the enemy under our feet. All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Luke 10, 18 through 20, and he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you the power to tread on serpents and scorpions and all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Whew. That's all I need. It doesn't matter whether I have the power or the authority. I thank God for it, because there are times I've had to exercise it. But I thank God that my name is written in heaven. Prayer and praise is a weapon. Always arm yourselves in prayer, with praise and thanksgiving. Give God the glory, the honor, the power, the praise. Psalm 42, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance. It doesn't matter what's going through. God is my countenance. He is my countenance. The word of our testimony is a weapon. Revelation 12 and 11 says, and they overcame him. Overcame who? Satan. By the blood of the Lamb. Oh, yes, the blood. That blood that was shed. That's why we plead the blood over our homes. I know it's not a scriptural. There isn't something in the Bible that says, but we go back to the Israelites, and when they didn't just speak the blood, they didn't just dream about it. If that blood was not applied to that doorpost, the death angel came in. And in the spirit, it's the same. We apply spiritually the blood of Jesus. Apply that blood. I ask God, I say, Lord, I plead the blood of Jesus over this conversation. Protect it from the enemy, because see, he can't read my thoughts, but he can hear my words. I don't want him to hear this conversation that I'm having with God. And by the word of their testimony, and they love not their lives unto death. The blood of the Lamb, Hebrews 10 and 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by his blood. See, when we enter into the holiest of holies, when we get into the presence of God in prayer, it puts the enemy on the run. He can't go any further. The blood of Jesus, he starts to come at you and he's like, whoo, there's the blood. I know what that blood means. I know what that means. I think I'm going to leave. Bible says, submit yourselves to God. Resist the devil and he will flee. Resist the devil. Apply the blood. The Spirit of God is another weapon. 1 John 4 and 4, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I don't need any more. Greater. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against his church. Promises after promise. Angels. God has angels. They're not for us to disperse at our will, but we can ask God to send an angel. We can ask God, Lord, send an angel. Psalm 34 and 7 tells us that the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. Anointing oil. The reason we use this oil, it's not because there's anything magical in the oil. It's because it's been dedicated, consecrated, set apart, so that when the sick come and we anoint them with oil. Anointing oil, that oil, the Spirit of God. And the Bible tells us to have the elders anoint the sick with oil. Genesis 28 and 18 says, and Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillows and set it up for a pillar, and he poured oil upon the top of it. The Word of God is a weapon. Satan, it is written. Know what's in the Word of God. Know what your power is. Know what your declarations are. Know what your decrees are. We can't decree anything outside of this Word. We haven't been given that authority. We haven't been given that power. All we can do is quote the Lord. What does the Lord say? 2 Timothy 2:16, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman, rightly dividing the word of truth. In the third dimension, we're often without words. I find it very hard to speak when I'm in that dimension. I'm crying, I'm groaning. Sometimes I can get out a hallelujah. Sometimes there might be a few words in the spirit, but often I'm without words. I can't articulate what I'm feeling or the depth of what's happening inside of me. I don't say we go by feelings, we don't. But there are times when we are in prayer that it is so deep. It just grabs a hold of our entire being because the presence of God, he's here. He's always, he's here. Even if we say he's not here, he's still here. He's here. But before we can delve into that dimension, we first must be found faithful with what God has given us. Can he trust us? Can he trust us to walk in his spirit? Can he trust us to take on the fruit of the spirit? Can he trust us to take the word of God and study it? Can he trust us to find a place to pray every day and just to get to know his voice? James says, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray, anointing them with oil. The prayer of faith shall save the sick. The Lord shall raise him up. Our faithfulness in prayer gets the attention of God. If you want to get God's attention, yes, praising him, singing, adoring him, talking to him. But prayer also gets his attention. God, through our adoration and proclamation of who he is, God will trust us with his heart, not because we are anything special, because we're not, but only because we have been found faithful in him. Jesus said, when I come back to the earth, will I find faith? God desires we be so full of the Holy Ghost that we walk in our homes under the unction of his spirit, pray under the unction, teach Bible studies under the unction, love under the unction. We must be filled with the boldness that the apostles had in the book of Acts. They did not, and show me if I'm wrong, but I don't recall there being any prayer request other than, God, give us boldness. They didn't say protect us. They didn't pray for provision. No, they prayed for others, but they prayed for boldness. They were living in a day much like Ukraine. They were on the run. They'd been persecuted. They had to depend solely on God. We've got to teach this to our children. We've got to teach them Deuteronomy 6 and 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. Teach this diligently to your children, morning, noon, and night, every day. Bind it to their bedposts. Put it on their doors. This will not happen by osmosis. It will only happen when you, under the unction of the Spirit, teach your children. The Bible says, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. Everywhere you can, post scripture. Put it on your mirror. Put it on your refrigerator. Have your young people put it on there. Challenge them every day. Take the word of God. Hide it in their heart. Hide it in your heart. Allow the word of God to penetrate your home. You think they're too young? They're not. If God filled them with the Holy Ghost, they're definitely not too young. But you know, my grandson, I am amazed. I know he's my grandson. I've got a few amazing grandsons, but Grant, I've not seen him as often as the other ones, but what a difference in his growth spiritually. That boy sits for hours having conversations well beyond his years. We're talking about just praying and, you know, you wanting to get your kids to pray and different things, and how can you do that? And after a while, he thought about it, and he simply said, well, Nana, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. Truth. I'm like, yeah. There's just things that our children will mesmerize us with if we'll put it in them. Somebody's been feeding him. Somebody's been talking to him about Jesus. And just as we get ready to close, I just want to share, I'm not going to go into it for the sake of time, but if you have a pen, you want to write these scriptures down and go back. But Acts 12, 5 through 17, you can read for yourself how Peter was freed from prison because prayer was constant and offered for Peter. God brought him out of prison. We can also read in Acts where Paul and Silas, who were beaten, stoned, and left for dead in the basement of a dirty, dark dungeon, and they prayed and sang into the midnight hour. And what happened? Chains were broken. Doors swung open. The handcuffs fell off. And you know, when the jailer got ready to take his life, Paul was still there and Silas, and they said, don't do that. We're still here. And he led them to salvation. God breaks chains. He breaks strongholds to lead people to him. He wants those off their mind, those lies that the enemy has put. And in closing, if you would stand, I don't really know how to bring an altar call for intercession. For those that are intercessors that have done this for a while and you're comfortable, I'm going to ask you if you'd come forward, because we're going to need you to help lead us in intercession. But I had just recently listened over and over and over, I don't know, 30 times in the last day. But there's a testimony about a Middle Eastern preacher. And some of you may have heard this. But a Middle Eastern preacher who was preaching Jesus. His life was threatened. He was told he was in the country of Russia. And he was told that he could no longer preach Jesus. He continued. And after about 4 or 5 times, the government told him, we told you, stop preaching Jesus. If you continue to preach Jesus, something is going to happen to you. He continued to preach Jesus. So they took him before the court, and the court found him guilty. They said, you've committed a capital offense. Preaching Jesus. That's heavy stuff. This is what I live for. This is what you live for. And so when the courts took him in, his sentence, they brought him out to a wall, and along the wall were gunned men. He was brought before. I forget what they're called now. It's in my brain. A firing squad. And he went out. He saw them. He was blindfolded. And they asked him, do you have one last request? And the man of God said, yes. And they said, what is it? He said, if I could pray. But you see, this man walked in a dimension of prayer that I can only pray. One day I can get there. Because for him to have preached Jesus Christ and had no fear and nothing shut him up. And so he said, I want to pray. And so he began to pray, and halfway through, he began to speak in tongues. He said, well, if I'm going to die, I'd rather die doing what I'm doing for Jesus. And if I'm going to die, let me go out praying in tongues. And after a while, he braced himself and he waited for the shots, and they never came. And he lifted his blindfold and he saw weapons lined up on the ground, but their men were gone. The interpreter looked at the man and he said, I thought you didn't speak Russian. He said, I don't. He said, oh, you did. He said that if you touch that man, my man of God, that vessel, I will send an angel and I will kill you, anybody who touches him. Now, I paraphrase that. I don't remember the exact words, but that's what was said. When I found out who it was, I'm not surprised, but it was Brother A.D. Urshan. Brother A.D. Urshan. The great-grandfather of the young man that was sharing his grandfather's testimony. God, do I have that faith? Do I have that confidence that if something should shift, something should change, will I continue in faith to live this life with everything I have and to take people with me? Or will I allow the enemy to shut my mouth? I refuse. I will not shut my mouth in prayer. I will not shut myself in preaching. I will not shut my mouth for anything that I do for the Lord, because the Lord is with me. What can man do to me? Kill me? Huh. we get to heaven sooner. Isn't that what Bishop always said? We just get there sooner. And our pastor said with COVID, and it made me stop and think too, well, what if COVID does get a second? What if we do go to Jesus? Well, we're there. We're there. This world, it's not our home. And intercession, if I could just tell you, ask God in your prayer. Let God bring you to that place. You will see strongholds broken. You will see your children loosed. You will see drug addicts set free. You will see people who have been bound for years and years and years. I'm one of them that was bound, but Jesus set me free. He set me free, and now I walk in liberty. But it will take intercession. As we come to the altar, maybe you have something that you need to pray for, that you're just... there's a battle going on. I don't know what it is, but I do know that Jesus wants to set you free tonight. Maybe it's a loved one tonight. There's somebody very heavy on my heart. Before our church started, I got a text. My heart is so heavy for this person. But if I don't pray, Ezekiel says, who will stand in the gap? Who will go? Jesus, help us. Help us. Jesus, Lord, we come before the throne of God. Lord, search my heart. Empty it out. Lord, if there be anything in my heart that's standing in the way of my prayers, I just want to empty it out right now. I just want to lay it at your feet. Any distractions, any sin, any thoughts, anything, God, that would distract me from standing in the gap, Lord, empty me out. Empty me out, oh God, that you can refill me, and that, Lord, I can pray as the Spirit gives the utterance, that, God, I can stand in the gap, that I can seek the mind and the face of God with boldness, God. There are people who do not yet know you, and we've got to pull them out of the pits of hell, God. Lord, if I don't, who will? Oh God, let me not use my flesh as an occasion to sin, but rather, God, to allow your Spirit to give me strength in my spirit, that I can pray, that I can fast, that I can intercede, oh God. Jesus, move upon your people, oh God. Let the intercession, the groaning, oh God, as you travail through your people, oh God. Lord, as your Spirit gives the utterance, oh God. Jesus, we look to you, the author and the finisher of our faith. Lord, my brothers and my sisters right now, they are in need. They are in need, oh God. But Jesus, you said that you would supply all of our needs. And God, tonight I'm praying that their faith would hold out, that they would be strong, that God, they would not... suffering, and that God, you would protect their families, that God, you would guard their hearts, guard their minds, oh God. Let me not to take my religious freedom for my own occasion, but God, to use it for your kingdom. Jesus, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done in earth as it is in heaven, oh God. Lord, let your kingdom come. Lord, we have young people that long for that dimension. They long to know you in the miraculous. They long to lay hands and to see their friends set free. They want to know you, Jesus. Oh, God, move and sweep over us, God. We want more of you until you become the focus, oh, God. I will stay in prayer. I will seek your face. Because, God, when I get out of the way and you become the focus, oh, God, Lord, you will do what you desire to do amongst your people. Oh, thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh God, renew us, refill us, God, until we are overflowing, God. Let it to flow like rivers of living water. Oh God, saturate us, overcome us, Lord. Jesus, we need you. We need you, oh God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, God. Hallelujah. Oh, sweep over this place, God, from the front to the back, to the out in the vestibule, God. Sweep out into the homes that are watching. Lord, let the unction, the power of your presence to saturate, to permeate, oh God. To go beyond the walls and the strongholds, God. Let the doors fly open. Let the chains fall off. Oh, God, let us to walk in liberty. Let us to walk in victory, oh, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
I want to know.
Oh, God, this truth. I will die for this truth, God. It is your truth that set me free. I want my neighbors to hear it. I want my co-workers to hear it, oh God. Lord, this loving truth. I love your truth, oh God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh God, a double portion. Under the unction, the anointing of your Spirit, let it flow, oh God. Let it flow. Let us take it home, God. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. I thank you, Jesus. Oh, praise you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Jesus,
oh, God. Look to Jesus. To navigate through your Spirit. Oh God, you said if any man lack wisdom, let him ask. Jesus, I'm asking you. Jesus, I'm asking you. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus.
I need more.
And I want to just say, this is very important, that as you are praying and you are pouring yourself out, it is so important that you restore your joy. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Allow His joy to fill your heart, your home. Turn on that praise music. Lift up your voices and shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Let us just do it right now. Let us just lift our voices and thank Him. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Lord, your joy, your presence is my strength. I pray, God, that you would renew, that you would restore your people. Let that joy to overflow. Jesus, David said, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Oh, God, I rejoice because my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I rejoice, oh, God. I thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Finished praying, and I want to thank Sister Linda for such a powerful, powerful word tonight. I can't tell you how many times we sat in staff meetings and we brought up situations within the congregation that needed prayer or need prayer, and we pray for them as a staff, and then the very next service, perhaps the individual that we were praying for, praying about their situation, they show up at church. Wednesday night, or tonight's Wednesday night, Friday night is our prayer meeting. And what I want you to do between now and Friday night is I want you to think of one person or one situation. And we're going to show up Friday night and we're going to pray. We're going to bring that name up. I'm going to spend some time praying for those needs. And we're going to just let God be God. I got to just be honest with you. I can't fix anybody's marriage. I can't. Okay? I can't heal anybody's body. I can't correct wrongs that have been made. But I know a God that can do all of the above. And we're entering into a season in our world. Listen, I've said this before, it's not going to get better. It's all... We may have revival. I say we may. We will have revival. God is going to complete. He's going to finish what He started. But the world around us is going to continue to swirl out of control. We know this. We have to be prepared for this. We have to be ready for this. That means we have to stand strong. As difficult as it can be at times, we have to stand strong, because we're the ark. What else can I say? We are the ark. This, not this church, the body of Christ. We've been talking about our gifts, using our gifts, the fruits of the Spirit. We are the ark. We are this. That's why we're here. That's why we're here. And God wants to use us, and God is going to use us. But we have to tap in to His presence. We have to stay tapped into his presence. We have to stay focused. It's it's so easy to get out of focus today. I struggle. That's the biggest struggle I deal with in my life, is keeping things focused. So Friday night, we're going to show up. God's going to do a great work. I guess that's one way to wrangle. Oh, thank you so much, Sister Linda. God bless you so very much. And we will be back here on Friday evening. And of course, Sunday morning, don't forget our baby dedication. We're going to be talking about the missing ingredient. The missing ingredient on Sunday morning. So God bless you. We will see you Friday.